again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 175 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew. I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And Kenny.
Hey.
And guys, we're just a couple of weeks away, or less than a, in fact, just over a week away now from the release of NBA 2K17, and we're on the verge of the prelude, however you wish to say that word. That's coming out within the next 24 hours or so from when we're recording this, so we've actually got some, not just some news, but some things to really look forward to getting our hands on in the next next week or so.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are interested, so we're waiting in that, especially in regards to seeing how some scans turned out, so yeah.
Yeah, we won't know that for at least a couple of days yet, apparently. But I'm assuming there's no server issues, but we'll get to that shortly. But you know, Kenny, it's actually nice, you know, after all this quiet off-season and previous season, to actually have this rush of news. So something to talk about each week and to maybe start getting us a bit hyped for the game.
Yeah, it definitely is, considering that... When is the official launch date, anyway?
Official street date is the 20th, and early tip-off weekend is the 16th.
Okay, yeah, so it is kind of cool to get all this stuff... just like on the eve of it being released and whatnot, and hopefully it'll live up to the hype.
I mean, they often do release the news very late. We've talked about this many times before, but this certainly has been the longest wait to get stuff. So it is nice to get this information and actually get some information that, again, it does have us a bit hyped and looking forward to the game. And we do have some news to cover this week, starting with my career news, and I think this broke shortly after we wrapped recording last week, if I recall, guys.
Yeah, I think it was about another hour or two after we finished or something, I guess. I don't know, I was probably still awake, because I think I sent you guys the info.
You would have, yes, and I would have said, okay, that's, thank you, Ben, but I'm so tired, I'm going to post that tomorrow, so.
Yeah, it was probably around the 5 a.m. time, and I think I was still kind of awake, or 4 a.m. sort of time, our time, when I saw it, so yeah.
Would have been. So it came out, information about my career, which a lot of people obviously have been looking forward to. And just bring up my article here. So we got a deep dive, rather in-depth developer blog from Ben Bishop. There you go, Ben, another Ben. They're everywhere these days. long-time developer at producer at 2K, talking about my career this year and talking about the player archetypes that we'll be able to select from. And... this is some good news, especially for us playing 2K Pro-Am, because it's all connected. But with the player archetypes, physical attributes will change according to... physical attributes will affect ratings, so you can't make any more 7'3 centers who can run like a gazelle and shoot three-pointers and so forth. And Kenny, that's just a fantastic move, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely is, but we'll see how it works in practice, because I'm still a little bit skeptical about it. Like, whether it will completely, nerf those kind of players. I say, you know, it's a great idea in theory. So I just hope that it turns out the way that they say it will.
The caps are both realistic and balanced, absolutely. It's definitely good news to hear. The archetypes have been revealed in a couple of the trailers that have come out so far. And, of course, those in-depth blogs... So that does sound like good news, but the big thing about my career, of course, these days is the story. We have gone on record many times with our opinions about that and where Living to Dream went wrong in NBA 2K16. So this year, we have some, a mixture of good and bad news. The good news, or potentially bad news, the good news is that the story is supposed to branch more. There's going to be more focus on the on-court part of the story, which I think is absolutely great. We should be telling the story ourselves through the play on the court, but there will definitely be some off-court cutscenes and decisions and whatnot. And this story is actually focused on a dynamic duo for the first time, so they're taking it in a different direction again, which is interesting. It'll be my player, who is nicknamed the President of Basketball, which is, I think, a little bit better than Frequency Vibrations, guys. Don't know how you feel about that. I say better.
Mildly at best better, but
I'll take it.
Better by default is probably the best way to describe it.
The two sweetest like words asking, in the English language.
It's like, how many times do you prefer to be punched in the nuts? Once or twice? And so that's the kind of, yeah.
Well,
it's probably the best analogy I could think of with the name.
A step up. So, and at least that's what the trailer makes it sound like, that he's referred to as the president of basketball in any case. But it will focus on you're my player and a player called Justice Young. And Justice Young is played by actor Michael B. Jordan. So that's two Jordans in the game this year. Or multiple Jordans, I suppose, if you include all the retro Jordans. So there's going to be a less linear story with you and Justice Young as you become this great duo. And here's the problem. The duo is called Orange Juice. And I'm willing to give it a try just to see what kind of creative stuff is actually comes with that name, because there have been some silly and wacky and sort of out there nicknames in basketball and sports in general, but my knee-jerk reaction was Orange Juice, really? And I think Ben, you had the same reaction.
Oh yeah, I mean, for me the first thing that came to mind was Trump and Oompa Loompas.
You did post that on Twitter.
Yes. terrible nicknames. I just prefer that we could use our actual name, to be honest. Keep it simple. Don't need to make it stupid. Just terrible in terms of that thing. In the nickname selections and stuff like that. In both the whole obviously the whole single player aspect of that whole president, and then obviously the duo thing. Stockton and Malone didn't really have like a nickname combo. Peyton and, you know, they used their names. It was Jordan and Pippen, you know.
Well, they were the Dobermans. Johnny Bark, former assistant coach, nicknamed them the Dobermans because of their aggressive play as a duo. But that's kind of aggressive and cool, actually. The Dobermans, they were they were rabid on defense. Remember the series against the Heat in the playoffs in the 92 first round, where they hit Steve Smith with a double team. That's Jordan and Pippen with a double team. That's not what you want to face as a perimeter player with the ball. But you're absolutely, Orange Juice is kind of weird. Like I said, I'll give it a chance in case there's kind of a funny story behind it, and if it's, again, something like Frequency Vibrations that you can get rid of eventually. Fair enough. It could have been worse. They could have called it OJ Made in America. That would have been a bit controversial, possibly. I have that series recorded. I do want to, from ESPN, I do want to watch that because it does look quite fascinating. Another topic. So you and Justice Young, Orange Juice, you will be able to progress through your career. And the other interesting thing they're doing, Kenny, is that you'll be able to control both your My Player, whoever you, whatever name you give it. I know you're thinking of Old and Young, which would be pretty good. Well, can you do Old and Young and Justice Young? You're going to have, you know, double young then. Nevertheless, you can control both him and Justice Young, you can, either partially by getting Young to make cuts to the basket and other things, or you can actually assume full control of Young. So you can actually take control of a second player in My Career, which is something new that they're doing and kind of interesting, really.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I was going to make the joke about having a black sibling again in 2K17, but that person's obviously not my brother, so because, you know, similarity in last name. But it's pretty cool. I like that they've gotten Michael B. Jordan along. He's a really good actor, and I also made the joke last night on Twitter that when I found out about Hannibal Buress being involved, that the duo should be called Pickle Juice, like relating to one of his old jokes. So, it's definitely something it's going to be interesting to see unfold. How it works out, you know, it's anybody's guess, but definitely interesting. Yeah,
I do think.
Sorry, Dendro.
You're right.
The combo name for you and Justice Young, or Young Justice, or whatever it is, should be Two Young Crew.
It's not bad. I was thinking,
TWO instead of
Young Justice is the DC animated series, so that's That's why that sounds familiar. I do like the fact that it sounds less linear than before. The latest trailer that they released today, from when we're recording this, actually, interestingly, showed two black players, the My Player and Justice Young, of course. It actually had a white player in the trailer. And it's hard to say. I'm already regretting my choice of phrasing there because it sounds incredibly racist, I'm sure. But again, as you alluded to, Kenny, with the very troubling thing, there's not a right word either. The ridiculous thing about Living to Dream was obviously you put your face in the game. And if you are pasty white gentlemen like we are, and look for our spread in Pasty Gentleman Monthly, the Conan O'Brien's magazine, obviously you didn't really fit in with your twin sister and mother and father. You know, you looked like the world's worst casting when you put your face in the game as a pasty white person for a story that was clearly written for a black character, which would be fine if it wasn't an RPG-style mode where it's meant for not just black people, but white people, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. So the fact that this story seems to be lending itself to people from multiple backgrounds, ethnicities, whatever, I think is a step in the right direction. If they're going to call yourself the ultimate sports RPG, then you absolutely need to have that RPG element where you can slot any character into that story and it still makes sense and it doesn't look like very bad casting. I hope everyone takes that in the way I intended, because that, you know, it's there's certainly nothing wrong with having a story about a black basketball player, because there are many black players in the NBA, obviously. But when you're inviting everyone to do that and not everyone can put their face in the game and meet that the character in the background, it kind of detracts from the experience just a little bit. It's almost like Kwame Brown chewing out Michael Jordan.
Cheap plug. It's all about context. It's all about context. You know, how does it, you know, and you know, if this is supposed to reflect like a real story, and that, yeah, this, yeah, has looked like some very poor Hollywood casting decisions and taking a mind for movies like Prince of Persia and stuff like that, where, yeah.
Middle Eastern, yeah, Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai, you know, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why have you cast a white person in this role? It's just talk about Hollywood whitewashing, yeah. So I am glad that they have moved away from that they're allowing everyone to really put themselves into the game, and that it all kind of fits, and that we have the branching. No more, hopefully, having to stick by a friend who's absolutely useless and clearly bad for your career and not being able to cut him loose. I mean, that was the big thing in last year's career story, that you couldn't... Because I would have happily cut Vic loose, basically. I'm saying,
as soon as the mode started, bang.
Get rid of him. He's clearly bad news. Even though, fair enough, I saw some spoilers before getting into the story last year, but still, it's pretty obvious that he's bad news and troubled and tragic story and everything. Spoilers. But anyway, the story sounds a little bit better, Orange Juice aside and President of Basketball aside. More branching options and choices that actually result in story branching and actual make a difference apart from what jersey you're wearing in college and so forth. Yeah, I don't love the story approach. I probably will never really get totally on board with it unless they, you know, do something really amazing with it or make it absolutely sandbox or something. But I'll give it a go, if only to level up my player for 2K Pro Am, I suppose. But I just hope, and I hasn't really said, but from the blog, did you guys see whether we'll actually have all the year 2 stuff from 2K16 in 2K17 straight away? Because that was what bothered me. There's a lot of cool stuff in my career from the second year on, as you guys know, but having to slog through that first year and all those cutscenes, it's that's what bugged me. So I'd like to have that stuff from the get-go in 2K17. Although we will be getting sponsorships much earlier, which makes sense. If you're a high-profile rookie, you're probably coming into the league with some kind of shoe deal or something. And of course, they did release a trailer, Kicks Matter, about the shoes in NBA 2K17. Obviously, Kicks Matter to a lot of people. They are a big part of basketball culture. And Ben, I mean, you saw the trailer. Were you impressed? You're a resident sneakerhead.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of great looking new, well, and some of the, and good to have the old retro issues scanned in as well. You know, some of the ones that, you know, I would have liked, that I had been wearing in 2K16 and even prior, were looking very outdated, like Live O's, like Live 16 in a sense, like the old ones that look like I want to say like the vinyl sort of modeled sort of thing, like the pop vinyl sort of thing. It just looked kind of that sort of, I don't want to say plastic, but kind of rubbery plasticky look. The old models look like that. So yeah, good to see them come back into looking like the actual product. Hoping that the actual part that sort of when you create your own signature ones and stuff like that, I'm hoping that there's new overlays and all that, because that's and textures and colors and all that color stuff for creating your own signature shoe is revamped as well, because that's stayed the same for like the last 3 or 4 years, and hope that the proper mod works in full. A few things I think could be improved with the, from what I've seen on video stuff of like the texturing, like they use the same sort of patterns and stuff like that. If you think there could be an upgrade in that, but in the actual scan and texturing of the actual regular models of the shoes looks far improved. Glad to see additions of low cuts and the normal mid cut variations and stuff like that. It's like say from the 2s, the 12s, the 9s, and in regards to Jordans, the 6s as well. Yeah, so I'm hoping to see, obviously, what they'll add in later in the year and stuff, and hopefully they'll be a bit more consistent than they were this year, as opposed to, say, previous years, where I felt like they added a few more. But yeah, I mean, they look far more realistic than they did compared to the previous couple of years and that, so yeah, good addition.
They were 3D scanned, so you would hope that they were...
Yeah,
looking better.
But I'll sort of go more into something along the lines of what I want to say when we come down to that path later in the episode. So yeah,
sure. And you know, of course, there's no mention of shoelace physics, which I now understand why you're not pre-ordering, Ben, because
it's those legacy issues, man. It's those legacy issues.
That's absolutely. So I think I've said my piece on my career. Any other thoughts before we move on? Story sounds okay. We'll give it a go, but skeptical? Is that the general vibe?
Yeah, I mean... yeah, it's definitely not been a strong point in delivering an overly great story in that sense. I really do hope that the decisions that you make do matter more, as opposed to just being... choose which college... or high school you go to. I think there was a comment that I was going to make earlier, but I can't remember what it was now. I've been trying to remember it for the last 3 or 4 minutes. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hope that it's more improved. CC gets LD2K and even Candy Smith are seen in the trailer. Which is interesting. Well, especially to see CC back in it. Yeah, so they're reprising some roles. I guess they did that with...
Jackson Ellis.
Yeah, Jackson Ellis. So I wonder how many other recurring roles from previous editions. Just hopefully not the whiny guy from 15. It would be good.
Well, we know Vic won't be in there because he's dead. Spoilers.
Yes.
But I guess one final note, Kenny. Are you rethinking the name Old and Young now that it's Justice Young?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
Too young crew?
Yeah, I think it all depends. Like, we're going to talk about the face scanning thing, I guess, in a bit. But it all depends on what kind of face scan I get, whether I go with, like, a likeness of myself or, you know, something completely different. So yeah. I'm still, yeah... Old and Young still the favorite. So basically just creating a taller version of myself.
So you mentioned the face scan. The app is actually available now. I downloaded it to my Android phone earlier today. I haven't actually opened it up and had a look at it. But yeah, you can't actually look at your scan yet. you can, I believe, get you can scan your face, but you can't actually connect to the 2K servers with a 2K account, because you won't be able to do it until the prelude is released, or the full game itself, of course, on early tip-off weekend or on the 20th. So, yeah, I guess it's nice that the app is out, but and you can get a look at that face scan, but yeah, that's you know, that you can't see how the scan's going to turn out before in the game. That's a bit of a downer, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of pointless then to put it out so early if you can't. I mean, you might want to, you'd want to put it in, like, so that way you can sort of, again, as I alluded to earlier, is sort of, oh, I think I may have mentioned before when we recorded, but, you know, you want to see how it turned out, to see if you need to rescan it, you know, maybe a better lighting situation or something like that. Or if, depending on, you know, if your hands are shaky, if you know, it kind of turned out blurry. So, you know, there's things like that. So you might as well use the time now before the game comes out to try and get the face right. So you're scanning it as many times as you need to before the game comes out. So that way you can just go straight into it from there and go straight into the mode and that. So, poor move in that decision. I think Live did it better in that sense.
Well, Live, you could scan the face in and share it on social media. So you could say, hey, this is my face scan, which should be a perfect way of doing things for 2K's, really hyping things up before the prelude and the game itself comes out. Obviously, 2K is doing a much better business than Live, so perhaps it doesn't need to do anything so gimmicky, but that's still a very nice
I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking, no, maybe it was a safe move because of the whole horror face scan nightmare articles and stuff that were out. Maybe they're trying to protect.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there certainly was quite a few of those. And the really garbled faces, I think some of them made it onto 2K TV. Well, some of the more amusing ones are the bloopers, but at the same time, it's probably not something they really want to show, especially with a brand new scanning app. But, yep. Yeah, but you know, a bit disappointing, all the same.
Agreed.
But I guess in another 24 hours or so, they'll have those servers open and we'll be able to actually connect the 2K account and do the scan. Of course, I think the big thing with the face scan for me is that this was a perfect way to be able to get your face onto PC, because at the moment, PC hasn't been able to have face scan until last year, but even then, it was with an update and only for devices with an Intel RealSense camera. And the fact that they aren't doing this through the app this year makes me think there's some kind of deal in place with Intel, because the app last year could connect to Steam so that you could earn VC for the app for the PC version. So there's no reason that it shouldn't be able to connect to the PC version of the game. So I hate paranoia and paranoid conspiracy theories, but it's not so much a conspiracy theory, it's just an explanation, I guess, that it seems to me there's probably some kind of deal with Intel, and that's why the PC versions are missing out, which is kind of a shame, because this would have been a great way to do it, because obviously the PC doesn't have that kind of standard camera device like the Kinect or the PlayStation camera. So it's definitely
there is technically a Kinect for PC.
Yeah, well, like, that's true.
There is the PC version.
So. Yeah, whether most people have it, most people who have a webcam don't have one that's got all the 3D.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have one that's, and you put it on there and say, oh, scan it with a webcam. You know, there's going to be people who do it with the cheapest webcams possible and complain that their face looks completely terrible. Well, you know, yeah, it's like trying to run 2K16 on a Pentium on a dual core from 2006. It's not going to run very well. So, you know, if you don't meet the requirements, that is of course the problem with PC hardware and PC gaming. And I obviously a avid PC gamer myself, as well as playing on PS4, but you know, that is the reality with PC gaming, is the different no standard hardware. But that is unfortunate. I guess by next week we'll have scanned our faces and played the prelude, and we'll be able to give some more opinions on it. Anything else that I've missed about that app? I mean, there's also going to be the games, but I'm guessing they're not really open yet. Well, you can't really earn VC because there's no game to earn VC for.
No, apparently the thing says you can earn VC now, when I opened it up today.
Can't imagine what it would go to, though, unless it just sort of stays in reserve, especially if it can't connect to a 2K account, but, oh well, then...
You can start playing the card game. I think they gave you, was it 12 to 15 free cards on the card game.
Oh,
and,
okay. I'll have to log into that.
You could do it. You choose your favorite team, and I think you get two players from that team. I ended up getting Gary Harris and Jakar Sampson. So,
okay.
I wasn't too fussed about the second ones, but yeah, Gary Harris is pretty solid. But I just want to add one thing about the face scan on the mobile app. One of the biggest problems for me in the 2K16 face scan was getting your face scanned and seeing, like, okay, my face is in the game, like, it's looking good up against that 3D model. And then the process between seeing your face on a 3D model and then having it applied onto your player and having it look completely different to the face on, like, the model that's being rendered. So to me, it's kind of a failure on the app's part, because I thought it would have kind of done a bit to fix a bit of that problem. But since you can't see your scan until you go into the prelude, it's pretty much the same problem. And I'm wondering, you know, how many attempts will you get at trying to get the face scan? Like, do we get multiple slots for different faces? Yeah, it kind of brings up a few new issues to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember a few times when I was trying to do some face scans, I don't know if it was for 2A15 or 16 and that, but, you know, I was trying to make sure I got one that was obviously right, and it would have been this year, because it was only my third attempt previous year, so. So, yeah, what happened is, you know, it did a scan, it turned out okay-ish. I thought, well, it might do, but I'll try and do a better one, so. But then those ones turned out worse, and I was like, and you can't sort of save those that just in case kind of thing. It's like, so that was kind of disappointing in that it's like, oh, keep this one in reserve just in case, but we still want to try. And so that's something I think that could be looked at.
I hadn't thought of that. That is a fantastic idea, because, as you said, sometimes you do have the scans, like, well, that's pretty good. I'd like to keep it aside just in case it doesn't turn out. But yeah, it's and again, with the app, you'd think that'd be a good feature. But I guess we'll find out. I am actually happy that it is on the phone, because of how well it worked out in Live 16, and the fact that, unlike you guys, I've never been able to get the face scan to work properly. It always seems to lose track of my face. And I was going to give it another go, but I haven't, and since we're at the point where we're probably only going to have maybe one more session of Pro-Am at most, I'll stick with my Neanderthal face. my pasty white baboon face. And then I'll scan in my real pasty white baboon face with the app. I guess we'll give that a try, as I said, next week, in the next couple of days, and we'll let you know next week how that goes. I'm sure plenty of impressions and about the prelude. I think one last thing we should mention about the prelude is that it's actually going to be, the content in that is going to be in my career itself, so it's just a head start. So basically, PC gamers who aren't getting the prelude, not actually going to miss out on anything. So that is actually some
good news. For the face scan.
Except for the face scan, yeah. But as far as the actual content for my career, the story and everything is going to be. Well, I guess if you don't like the story, then you're not missing out on anything. But there you have it. So we like our franchise modes in basketball video games, and I know Kenny, you and I are both looking to get back into My League a bit more this year, and we've talked about some of the improvements to My League and My GM in previous shows as they've come out. Do have some new details thanks to Brian Mazik over on Forbes.com. He's been posting some hands-on impressions for the last couple of weeks or so of the game. He attended the recent media event at Visual Concepts, and has posted some more information about the game. A few more tidbits on My League and My GM. And the rules committee will apparently meet after every season, just as in real life, to determine whether there will be any changes. Changes have to be approved by the requisite percentage of team owners. And what may be some bad news is that we can't disable rule changes, but if you're playing My League, where you have complete control as the de facto commissioner, if you like, you can actually override them. So in my league, at least, if you don't like some of the rule changes and you vote against them and yet the vote doesn't go your way, you can continue to override it. So I think that's I would like the ability to disable them completely, but in lieu of that, being able to override them in my league, I think, is a good enough solution. But how do you feel about that, Kenny? The rule changes, I mean, hopefully they're not too drastic every year.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope it's not silly stuff like bringing in a four-point line or, you know, something stupid like that, because I think that is really a crazy rule. But
they did say, I mean, they did say that they did confirm they won't be a four-point line because they discussed it, but the logistics of redoing the gameplay and all the player movement and play calling was just a bit too complicated. So no four-point line, which is good because I don't want to see that in real life either, frankly. So
well, yeah. That's good because it's a horrendous rule, but yeah, I think it's good for the realism of the game. If you're allowed to override it, then I don't see too much of an issue with it. But yeah, it kind of makes me just want to play my league more than my GM. So I don't know how it's going to work with my GM, but yeah, I can see it being a bit of a problem for people who like to play my GM over my league. So,
I mean, if there's a slider. In my league, at least, a frequency of rules being implemented. Like, if you could adjust the frequency that all the owners actually do agree on the new rules, that would be interesting. But again, yeah. If you can override it, then it's kind of a moot point. It just goes to go back to why I prefer my league to my GM. I think my GM is a fine concept, but I like to tell my own story. Again, my issue with my career. And have that more of a sandbox experience and not be... I'd have to answer to the GM and have stuff behind a VC paywall and that kind of stuff, which is why I'm really glad they did introduce my league when they did, to as a complement to my GM or an alternative to my GM. So that is it is realistic though, because the rules committee does meet every season. So I mean, people can say it's unrealistic, but actually that's kind of true. Whether they make drastic changes every year is not necessarily realistic, but I guess that remains to be seen, and hopefully. That has been implemented in a, I guess, conservatively as far as making sweeping changes. But the other thing that's been mentioned is the names of the expansion teams. You can have up to 6 expansion teams in the game, as has been previously announced. And it's also revealed at the same time the game will ship with 10 pre-made expansion teams. Those teams will include primary and secondary logos, as well as actual audio assets. So they're proper teams if you want to go to, fully pre-made. And the 10 pre-made teams in NBA 2K17 are the Nashville Stars, Pittsburgh Force, Kansas City Knights, Virginia Storm, Vancouver Ravens, San Diego Surf, Cincinnati Lions, Baltimore Barons, Louisville Liberty, and the St. Louis Sound. Now, there's quite a few cities there that we've been actually thinking about for a possible NLSC project there, guys. And the fact that I come from a city that has a sports team called the Knights, I might just have to go to Kansas City to have the Knights in the game. I think those are some... I mean, you could say they're not the most inspired names, but they're also very sporty names, I guess, that they are the kinds of names you would expect, and things like San Diego Surf, I guess, and Lions and Barons, Knights... Stars, all the kind of names you would expect from professional sports teams. I have no problem with any of the names. They're just presets. If you want to have some random ones randomly appear in my league and don't want to create them yourself, so yeah, I think it's fine. I think it gives us some ideas for cities, certainly for our own project. And yeah, go Knights. Apparently, that's my team now.
So Kansas City, is that going to be an Eastern Conference team? Ooh. I'm just thinking of the logistics of it. It's in Missouri.
We'll work it out. I mean,
yeah, we'll figure it out, yeah.
I mean, once again, if Orlando can be in the Southwest Division their first year in the league while it's being realigned, then yeah, anything's possible.
That's true.
The division of East and West Conference kind of, it's not a very straight line if you look at the map of the U.S., so... I suppose it's however you want to, wherever you can jam the team into a division, I think, these days. But
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm hoping that we can also use that audio for something else. Like, say I wanted to have the San Diego Knights, for example, if I could put them together, if it would actually let me mix and match the audio. It doesn't say that it does, but that would be pretty cool. So
it would be, yeah.
If the name's in, if the audio's in the game, to be able to use.
Yeah, maybe not San Diego.
Well, no, but
does California really need another team? But
they don't. But yeah, it's.
In real life, I would like to see an Anaheim team, but yeah, California totally doesn't need another team. That's just my personal preference.
Yeah.
So move the Clippers there or the Kings there, if anything, but perhaps. But so it was nice to get a couple more tidbits about that. I don't really have much.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't really have much more to say about that. It's again nice to get those details and some clarification on the rules. Apparently changes to the shot clock are one example of the new rules. They haven't really got into any detail, so that's something we'll just have to find out for ourselves playing through. But no 4-point line, that's a good sign, I guess.
Yeah, I can understand the whole logistics in terms of the programming side of things if they were to do that. And so kind of glad that couldn't be done. Just hoping that, you know, there's still nothing like in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, team mascot has to play or something like that, or the clown comes in the clown quarter. So yeah, it's sort of just thinking of like the Futurama, what's it, Blurn's ball.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah, just crazy. Weird rules of that is like, what the hell is going on?
It's like, what do you mean a horse can't play? Ain't no rule. So Air Bud or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So we are looking forward to my league more so than my GM, but some good news for that, those modes. It doesn't look like we're going to get much more details about that unless there's a trailer dropping. There is another trailer dropping. Probably as soon as we finish recording, it'll be out, knowing our luck. But
there's a teaser. I think it's probably something for like Pro-Am or my team or something like that.
Or possibly presentation, something along those lines. But there is another trailer that came out yesterday, about arena authenticity. And basically they went around to all the NBA arenas to record arena sounds, crowd sounds, and get those into the game. Get specific chants and specific PA announcer sayings to get into the game. The trailer mentions that they traveled 16,000 miles. Of course, this is the NBA we're talking about, so traveling is expected. But the arena authenticity trailer, I mean, it's nice, those details, because it's even coming down to a different sound that the ball makes in all the different hardwoods and all the different arenas, so they've gone to some incredible detail. I can certainly appreciate it, but I'll be honest, it doesn't really excite me that much, because that kind of stuff really fades into the background once you're confronted with legacy issues with gameplay or game modes. So it's nice bells and whistles, but the shine does come off it, I think, at some point when you start noticing all those issues.
Yeah, again, you know, it comes down to, but she's got a new hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, because this is something we're going to bring up later. So yeah, it's good and all, but there are more important things for them to work on, and that sort of thing. And, you know, so yeah, it's okay that it's there, but again,
it's hard to get hyped about. You know,
there's a high priority of things, in my opinion, and of things that need working on or improving or adding into.
On one hand, it is kind of cool, like, wow, they've actually got the different sounds of the ball. But on the other hand, well, audio filtering is a thing. You know, audio manipulation is a thing they can obviously do. Does it really distract you from, you know, what's more important, the way that the players handle the ball or the way the ball sounds on the court? You know, and I think most people would say the former, but some would say the latter, and we're all entitled to our opinion, but I don't understand.
Someone's going to cancel the pre-order of the game because the ball didn't quite sound so much like it would.
I'm sorry, the ball does not sound like that at the Palace of Bourbon Hills. Is there a cancel? Have you even done any work on the game? Yeah.
Can count the beer aspect on the floor.
The when the beer spills, it kind of pulls in this way, not the other way because of the slight incline on the bench. You know, not sin. Yeah, and of course there are some people who go to that detail, which, hey, you know, that's a good eye for detail, but yeah, it's not detail I think is that crucial to the experience that that I can get really hyped about it. It's nice. I think it's cool, but it's not sort of like, oh, this is a must-play game. The stuff I've been hearing about gameplay and My League and everything else, that gets me interested in the game. This is nice, but it doesn't hype me up. Maybe though, Kenny, I'm just a bitter old fool, bitter old hater.
Maybe. I kind of agree with you, though, because who's really going to notice whether, oh, you know, they copied the sound of the Golden State Arena from, you know, the Sacramento one. Like, who is going to notice the bounce of the ball? Certainly not the people who, you know, zigzag in my park. They're not going to care about it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, yeah, as you said, it's cool, but it's...
Does that mean we get to choose the side of bounce and rim bounce effect and all that stuff in Pro-Am when we finally can and eventually update?
Maybe. Can we? If so, I'd like to be able to get some really cartoony sound effects in there, like just really like a spring noise, or just boing when it comes off the hardwood. Something really stupid.
Have the yahidi sax sound effect playing in the background when people do the zigzag park.
See, this is how we win games and level up. We just have the stupidest possible sound effects and everything in the arena.
Yep.
And then people are just like, we're not playing this game anymore. Yes, another victory. So, okay, that's our strategy for 2K Pro-Am in 2K17. We just have the most obnoxious sounds possible, and that's how we get them to quit and win. But trailer's nice. It's interesting stuff. It's cool effects. But yeah, if it's your thing, fantastic. That and you know, congratulations, and you know, be happy, enjoy it. But for me, yeah, there's other things that I've heard about the game that have me a little more pumped than this particular information about authenticity. But that being said, you know, it's authenticity is the name of the game, so whatever they can put into the game, hey, you know, probably got to see a fair amount of NBA games then, if nothing else, going around recording all those sounds. Same PA announcer in all the arenas as well, which I know some people are complaining about, but I just don't think it's feasible to have that many different PA announcers, maybe two or three in the game, but simply having their sayings, the different phrases and different chants and everything, and team-specific announcements and whatnot, I think that's good enough. But then again, I guess I'm a bit old school that way. Whereas, you know, as long as I have a steel button on the PC version, I'm happy. 3 NBA lives without it.
Well, in this case, maybe a foul button as opposed to a steel button more than anything.
We've got dig steals on the right stick.
True. Well, again, we've got to see how it works
in actual
practice.
Worked out okay live.
Right stick for foul. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah.
the foul stick doesn't sound good at all.
Foul stick.
So, speaking of NBA Live, not a lot of NBA Live news, obviously, at the moment. NBA Live Mobile is doing pretty well. People still enjoying that. Actually, something that was posted on Twitter that's worth noting, you know, people have said that they're moving away from the consoles or whatever. The console version is still slated for quarter one 2017, PS4 and Xbox One. And they're obviously still talking about doing mocap and other such work on the console version. But it has been noted on Twitter that the NBA Live Mobile and NBA Live console development teams are different, so they don't affect each other positively or negatively. So the guys and girls who are working on the console version are not, you know, have not been spending their time on the mobile version, so they have been developing this in the background. So that is good news. Some news that is flat out, I would say, false. I will reach out and ask about this, but I'm pretty sure we're dealing with a hoax here, like 99.9% sure. But there was a link posted in the NBA Live 16 section of the forum earlier this week about buying a PC version of NBA Live 17. Now, before everyone gets excited, if you go to this site, gamesdeal.com, NBA Live 17 PC, you'll notice screenshots of NBA 2K, a release date of the 31st of March 2017 for a PC code for the for an Origin, you know, EA's digital platform. Origin keys delivered via email. And the description refers to the NBA 2K franchise is back with the most true-life NBA experience with NBA 2K16. So, obviously copied and pasted. Screenshots, you know, you can say placeholders. One of the placeholder screenshots is a photoshopped version of the NBA Live 13 teaser image with the silhouetted player holding the basketball on his shoulder. 13 has just been changed to 17. Amazingly, this is on sale for 60, imagine US dollars. Someone's, I think I need to reach out to EA about this just to report it, if nothing else. So we either say, do we have some good news coming, or is this a hoax? Ben, I would say hoax because of the mixture of information and the fact that, again, EA's financial report for quarter one 2017 does not list a PC version of NBA Live 17, only an Xbox One and PlayStation 4 version. So, yeah, I'm going to say hoax.
Yeah, hoax. Anyone that's believes it and does pre-order it from that site, or if you can do that, then I'm sorry, but you're a fool. It won't happen. I don't see an NBA Live coming back to PC within the next 5 years, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys. I mean, it's not conceivable that maybe NBA Live 17 is stealing a few graphics from NBA 2K16. Oh, I mean, stealing, you know, they might steal a few features here and there.
Yeah, well, you know,
it could happen.
Could happen.
You never know.
PC version, if that's a feature. But, well, you know, let's say a fool in their money is easily, you know, easily parted, quickly parted. One of the two. But basically, yeah, do not buy that. even at the discounted price of $59.99 with a 4% payment fee on PayPal, by the way. So, I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, wow. it's I don't know how reputable the site actually is. I've never dealt with them before, and if they're doing stuff like this, maybe I don't really, you know, careful what I want to say, because I certainly don't want to slander a libel or anything. But at the same time, it's very, very sketchy, very odd. Some kind of placeholder. Maybe they do mean 2K17, and they've just mixed it with an EA title. But again, that Live 17. Photoshopped.
Someone's put in some effort on that. So, yeah, I'd say it's a legit sort of scam attempt.
Yeah, something dodgy going on there. So, do not give them the money, and don't get excited about a PC version of NBA Live anytime soon. Live has to
and
be.
Don't expect anything in the mail except for maybe like a note with like a Nelson laugh at best.
Yeah,
you guys are just so cynical.
Oh yeah, I told you, man. I'm a bitter old hater. I've got it on my, I've got it to my custom title and on Twitter, so it's official. Bitter old hater. So before we move on to talk a little bit about what we've been playing for the past week or so, and I guess some of our future plans as well, we do have another incident in the basketball gaming community. It is to do with Ronnie2K, and he was kind of rude to a fan who asked a question, and the fan asked the fan was upset at the lack of hairstyles of new and improved hairstyles in my career. So retweeted Ronnie2K, saw the 2K stream and you lost all my hype. You all just hype it up every year as usual. Shaking my head, SMH. The same hairstyles too, really. Now, you can say whether the hairstyles are an important part of the game. Again, like we you know, talking about the arena authenticity a moment ago, but obviously there is some work to be done with the creator player hairstyles. Some of the especially the blonde hairstyles do look a little bit weird. Even Dirk Nowitzki, you know, who has a face scan, presumably his hair doesn't look quite right. So it is still important from a visual aspect and a customization aspect. But Ronnie responded to him, and I quote, "We are more than a Barbie dress-up game, and the hashtag this is not a game promoting," which is the hashtag they're going with 2K17. Ooh, that's a bad response.
yeah.
Obviously, it's pretty rude to a legitimate complaint. Whether it's the most important complaint, it is still a legitimate complaint to have. So to throw that back in the face of someone who's keen about the game and really disappointed about it, not the right way of handling it. as was pointed out on Reddit, OS, in our forum, and other places online, on social media and such, 2K is not a Barbie dress-up game. It's a basketball sim, and a very good one at that. But what about all the clothes you get for your player in My Park or My Career?
The thousands you have to spend to all the buy shoes. Yeah.
There's very much a dress-up element to 2K.
Even doing your My Courts and stuff like that costs VC so to do, and you know, so technically yes.
I mean, even if
it is Barbie game.
Even if it didn't cost as much VC or any VC at all, there is still a dress-up element and a customization element. So to dismiss a complaint about a certain part of the visuals and customization, and then to say we're not a game that does all that kind of stuff when clearly you do, on top of the rudeness, the arrogance of the response, it was just plain stupid and hypocritical. And I was, you know, it didn't really endear himself to many people, which is, I guess, you know, he's still got all the followers on Twitter, he's 2K still going to do well, but as it should, because the people who are working on the game put in a lot of hard work, and a lot of the things that we're seeing are looking very good. But oh man, just treat your fans with some respect. And I don't know. I mean, Kenny, you were kind of disgusted when I shot along the tweet earlier.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's just another misstep, I suppose. And I just remember thinking was it days or like a day after? Like he wrote a tweet saying that they now have compression pants. And it's like, okay, so it's not a Barbie dress-up game when, you know, people point out stuff that's not in the game, but, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's, I'm lost for words just by the arrogance of the guy.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, and then it just, what was it, like, the day later, the whole Kicks Matters trailer comes out. And it's like, the irony and lunacy and stupidity of his comment and that, just it's like, really, just freaking really. I really do believe that 2K could do with a better PR community guy.
Well, you know, LG2K did have his gaffe the other week and did delete the tweet and such, as we discussed, maybe a joke that didn't go down too well with the community at large, but he did actually address the issue over in OS, and just to read this post out real quick, to answer you guys here, I've talked to the team about more My Player hairstyles. I can say the hair this year has taken a huge leap, looks so realistic as you've seen in screens, official trailers so far. We'll continue to monitor your guys' requests, may not happen overnight, but we're always monitoring and listening. That is a much better response than we are not a Barbie game. So we hear your complaint, we have actually made some improvements, you know, by all means stick by the game. I'm not saying they should throw the game, especially they shouldn't throw the developers under the bus when they're the community guys and the PR guys, but
yeah,
it's to say, you know, we are working on it, we are taking that kind of stuff, you know, keep hitting up with specific suggestions, and they should make some specific suggestions as well, you know, more than the hair looks like crap, say that it looks fake or phony, or the colour doesn't look right, or washed up, whatever specific, constructive feedback actually says what's wrong and what you want to see improved, not just it looks crap, make it better, doesn't really say what your complaint is. But that is a professional answer. LG2K, that is usually the kind of responses that he gives. The other one, the gaffe the other week was kind of out of character. Maybe, again, maybe it was a bad day or something, or a joke that went wrong. But that is the answer that really that you should have. And it has nothing to do with being politically correct or people being oversensitive. It's just respect for your consumer base. And that kind of response that Ronnie gave, not respectful at all, very, very arrogant. And you know, it won't affect the game, yeah. And nor should it. It shouldn't reflect badly on the hard work that the developers are actually putting into the game. But yeah, it's a little way.
Yeah, and you know, the argument could be, well, why do people care so much about the hair element to it? For one, it can be in regards to draft classes, creating older rosters of older players and stuff, so having the hairstyles that could reflect that, even for their own My Career play, obviously. And again, the whole Barbie comment, when you're forcing a mode where or incorporating a mode where we're trying to actually create a player that potentially looks like us if we're trying to go down that route. We want to have as many options as possible to recreate that the look of ourselves, and you know, not every hairstyle is there to accommodate that. So for what some hairstyles some people might have in that. So yeah, just a disappointing remark in that sense. They did apparently add a few new hairstyles in last year, so hopefully it can happen again this year. You know, just a bit more variety in terms of things. And I think even Kenny, you mentioned before we started recording, why not have like what we regard like a three-layer option, like we do technically with beard, sideburns, and stubble, I think it is, or something like that, or moustache and stuff like that. So there's kind of a few ways we can have maybe, I guess the term would be layered hairstyle. You know, you might have like the sides, the front and the back sort of thing, or top the hair and that. So a way to do something like that. But again, I guess that would be a lot of work and a lot of assets to go into it.
But the infrastructure is, and I agree, that was a great suggestion, and the infrastructure you would imagine is there in the player creation customization menu. Whether they get I hate to say it would be easy to add, because everyone, all gamers say, oh, it'd be easy for them to do this, it'd be easy for them to do that. If it was that easy, I'm sure it would be done. It's, you know, we've had people in the community say that they should bring in Phil Jackson to inspect the code and tell them what to delete. You know, it's game development.
That still cracks me up.
Game development is a little bit more complex than I think many of us really appreciate or understand. But it seems that the infrastructure is there for them to do it. So I think that'd be a great idea to be able to further customize the hair. If the sides of one hair, for example, suit you, but the top doesn't, you know, it's to be stuck with just those hairstyles is a bit limiting. But well, then I guess you could say, if you're going to go crazy with your player, I might as well give myself long dreads. Why not? You know, I've just to see what I'd look like, see whether I should do it in real life. Spoiler: no, I shouldn't. Definitely shouldn't. but yeah, that was a good idea, Kenny.
Oh, thanks. I think, yeah. I mean, the hair thing doesn't really bother me much anymore, since like I create players that look like me, and I don't have a lot of hair these days. But I think it's definitely an important part of customization. Like, I certainly see it as more visible than shoes, and they have like this entire campaign around shoes. So, I just don't understand why they would dismiss it like that, I suppose.
Well, I think they, and especially it's been with Ronnie, when the news is good, you know, that they'll put it out there and retweet everyone who's excited about it. If the news is bad, they'll either not say anything, or they'll really come back snarky against anyone who's disappointed with it. I think 2K has done so well that they're not really used to criticism and negative opinions, which obviously not everyone is happy with, and I'm sure they get their fair share of criticism, but when people are really upset about something and express that vocally, the snark and the snide remarks come out, and it's a bit. And again, I don't know if I mentioned it when we talked about this after the last gaffe, but obviously you're getting a lot of crap if you're even a developer on Twitter, but certainly the PR guys and the community managers, marketing. I'm sure you are getting a lot of people, you know, fix your damn servers and worse, tweeting at you, and which is not your department, and all kinds of things like that. But I think you're still going to be more professional about that, because it is a legitimate point at the end of the day, and hopefully, as LD2K said, hopefully they are taking the suggestions and the requests into consideration for future years, and if they can patch it through. I think Live actually pushed through some more hairstyles last year with one of their patches, so obviously a totally different game, but if it is possible to do, I mean, they've pushed through a lot of content, both games, in the last few years. That's how it goes these days. We've come a long way with the official updates as far as art and everything, so if they could actually get some into the game with the patch, that'd be pretty cool. Probably not the multiple layers of hair editing, but at least a few more styles.
I hate putting this idea out there, but if there was like a specific hairstyle you wanted, would you be willing to pay VC for it? Like,
no. I think that's
one reason why they probably don't go down that road. Like, I think it was mentioned in Reddit as well by that one particular post. But do you think people would like take yourself out of it? Do you think people would buy hairstyles that kind of they think look good or represent what they would wear in real life?
Oh yeah, yeah, they'll pay a certain amount of VC. Probably not like 1,000 or anything like that, but just a couple of hundred VC. I mean, the same way of customizing a backboard in my court, you know, which I've done. Customizing my court, so I can answer for other people and myself. I think absolutely people would. Should they? Probably not. I think all the hairstyles should be.
I don't think they should. But I'm just saying that.
I think people would, especially just a couple of hundred VC, because you can earn that in one game playing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think people would, but should definitely another matter altogether. I should say.
If they did it, it would set up a bad precedent, because anything regarding your replication of your model player in terms of the body features and stuff, it's like how much VC to unlock a certain muscle tone or a height or something like that. You know, how is it going to go down that road in that sense? So, danger precedent in that sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree as well. I'm not saying that's something they should do. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate and kind of like going into the mindset, I suppose, of what would inspire them to create more hairstyles.
Well, you know, the other alternative is to do what Live did and have different currency for getting clothing and other things for your player. And accessories, that they have the RP and the SP in NBA Live 16, so that you don't have to pay the same currency to upgrade players' abilities and get accessories. So that would be something else they would do. But then again, VC with the
that cuts into the
microtransactions and the revenue. So it seems unlikely. So, but if they did want to take an idea from Live, that's another one I'd throw out there. So, and for the record, I have no problem with Live or 2K. Taking good ideas from one another, because that just seems like a sensible thing to do, especially when gamers say all the time, we'd like to have this in this game, and then complain about stealing ideas. Moving the goalposts, people, moving the goalposts. But, it was unfortunate to see, but not too surprising, the response, but probably not going to matter too much in the long run. You know, 2K17 is almost out. I am looking forward to it. It is shaping up to be a pretty good game. Ben, I know you're still undecided, but I guess you'll know by this time next week after playing the prelude whether you want to consider giving it a go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm considering putting the pre-order so that way I get the USA team and all that stuff. But
that will be paid DLC. You can buy it later. So if you got the game sort of on special and then put that money towards the DLC, you could do it that way as well. But
yeah. But, you know, depending on how much it's going to cost. So
it's a principal thing.
Yeah. Again, dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
I don't like sort of thing in that option. So.
We don't know when that DLC is going to be released separately as well. So if it's the same time or whatever. But.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well, there's still time to pre-order if you change your mind. It's.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going in to put money down tomorrow on it. Like the $10 deposit, obviously, on it. And then obviously see how things go with the prelude, and if everything goes okay, then yeah, I'd get the game. I'd get just the basic version, and then probably do, instead of spending $150 to get the 100,000 VC or whatever it is, I'd probably just do like the, was it $25 VC option?
Yeah.
Which I think is like 75,000 VC. So yeah, that way.
Right. Yeah, so well, I think we're going to be doing the standard edition this year. Where, well, none of us are big Kobe fans, so I guess that's kind of wasted on us anyway.
No.
Yeah.
So that will be what we're going to be playing, I guess, by next week, at least two of us, and maybe you, Ben. That's the big news of this week's podcast, is you actually considering pre-ordering the game. That's bigger than shoes. That's bigger than Arena Authenticity. You know, because that means more for our content. if you're on board in 2K Pro-Am. Speaking of which...
But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing that we've been discussing in the background while playing Prime, the whole online thing, you know, that has made me interested in terms of doing something like that. And, you know, I want to... But, I mean, like, some of the option with Pro-Am, with the whole Elite, being able to... That's, like... There's, like, things that made me go, yeah, but... And then, no, then it's like, ah... Just... Keep it simple. Don't things around. Yeah, I muted myself then. So, don't change things for the worse. And this is what's making it hard for me to be decisive enough if I want to actually get this game for all the reasons that I'd want to in that, because I keep doing things wrong.
Well, hopefully they do get more.
Backward steps, so that's the way I'll put it.
Hopefully there's minimal backward steps in 2K17. We will know very soon, and we'll have our impressions of that. But in the meantime, we have been playing a bit of NBA 2K16 and whatnot, so I guess it is time to, before we wrap up the show, to talk a little bit about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And yes, our 2K Pro-Am for 2K16 is coming to a close. It's certainly winding down. I guess maybe one session left, depending on when the prelude comes out tomorrow. But we did have a couple of sessions in this past week. We had our usual one on Friday night. Played on Saturday. We played both nights, didn't we, last week?
Yes, from memory.
We got on for two. Yeah. And then with Leo and X, with Valor and X on the Friday, and then the four of us on the Saturday. And then the three of us got on Tuesday night, was it?
Yeah, it was Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, after much messing around, trying to see each other on PlayStation Network and get into the game. We had a bit of online problems there. Always fun. And this is why the offline experience is superior. offline master race. So it's winding down. We didn't have our best sessions. In fact, we had some... quite ugly losses, but also a few decent ones as well. We did win a couple of games, as I recall, but I think we ran into a few opponents who were a bit cheesy, a few opponents who were really outmatched us, but I think didn't we beat a team that had about 300 wins?
Yeah, we did. We actually beat a team, and yeah, most of them were like a 99 rating kind of thing, like somewhere between the 96 to 99 ratings and that. So
they also had about 200 losses, so they weren't... It wasn't like there were 300 wins and a couple of losses. They had, a bit over 500. But nevertheless, well, I was proud of us. I'm proud of the effort.
We played a good team basketball again. We weren't cheesing and that, so that was good. I think with our Tuesday night session, I think we were just kind of frustrated how long it took to get on, that we didn't play our best. Plus, we only also had three of us, so... You definitely need at least four, I think, for Pro-Am to be competitive enough instead of relying on two most likely hopeless AI players that will do everything in their power to mess up the game.
Although we did have an AI player score 17 points for us the other day, which I think may be a high for any AI player on our team. Admittedly, we usually have four or five, so we don't have one, but was that... was it Stephen Carter or something like that? Because I kept calling him. It wasn't Sean Carter. I kept calling him.
Sean Carter.
No, yeah. I kept calling him Sean Carter as the yeah. Jersey reference. But no, it was actually I think Stephen or something like that, or Stephen or Carter. But I had a Tom Chambers dunk the other night against someone randomly. That was nice to see.
Yeah, I don't think you liked that because he was like a center as well.
Yeah, that's more of a Kevin Johnson then rather than a. It was Kevin Johnson doing a Tom Chambers dunk, maybe, as far as the way that went down. But that was fun. Getting blocked in 360 dunk, that wasn't so much fun. But
you got to love, though, when the guy was doing that, was it 360 windmill, but his team took the timeout just before
he... Oh, yes, he had the open 360 windmill, and yeah, I'm sure whoever did that wasn't very popular that night, but we had some frustration, but you know, we have had some good sessions lately. Kenny, you've been uploading them to your YouTube, and it's actually been fun to go back and watch some of that one, including your OT win, of course, where you hit the three off a brilliant pass from me.
yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. It's also nice to look at some of the blowouts as well, because those games are really entertaining, and like what kind of plays we end up making. Like, I just remember one of the plays was me, like, one guy was inbounding the ball and I basically just intercepted it and went up for a dunk. Like, that's like one of my favorite plays full time in Pro Am. But
Between that and your overtime game, your overtime clutch performance, I had the game winner. That was the same night from a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had those two clutch wins in a row when we won the three or four in a row. I kind of wanted to finish on a high, and I wouldn't mind playing at least one more session, because again, it's going to be the only thing that's going to come out as the prelude, and that's probably going to be fairly late for us in the day. So
yeah, and it might be only like three or four games long. So
it is. I wouldn't mind just spending that over the weekend, sort of playing that at my own pace. So
yeah,
I mean, I'd be down for at least one more session. See if we can
end
on a high, get a couple more wins for the Snoop Sliders. Well, actually, no, that's my team. It's the Arcane NLC that we're at the moment. Well, if we are going to do 2K Pro in 2K17, we're going to have to think of a good new name, because we've already used a couple of them. And of course, this time, because the team owner doesn't have to be playing, whoever creates the team, doesn't have to, which I guess it would have to be you, Ben, if you get the game, because you're the best one with the uniforms. Then again, if the uniforms, we can't customize them until later, who knows. But we'll have to think of a name, because we've used some of the good ones already.
Team Barbie? No.
Wow. Actually, you know what? That's I don't really want to put the Barbie logo on the corner or anything, but that would be a pretty good reference now that I think about it.
That just takes me back to primary school, man.
Team Barbie.
Just have
my name being Kenny and all.
Oh, right, yeah. my dad is also Ken, so he's made reference to that over the years. That in South Park.
Yeah. There have been plenty of references with my name.
Well, everyone's got their cross to bear. Like Doug Walker, the nostalgia critic, has Doug, the Nickelodeon and later Disney show, so which he's not a fan of. As any other fan, if his fans may know, he's railed against that show a few times. But yeah. So yeah, I guess a couple more sessions of that, or a couple more games, I guess, and then end on a high. See if we can get some wins, a few more 360 dunks. You'll have to load up our players with all our best dunk packages, I think. See if we can get some highlight reels going for the last hurrah, perhaps for the 2K Pro Am. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll play a couple next week while we're waiting for 2K17. Because I think once you play the prelude, that's it. There's only the four games.
Yeah, it's a one-off thing.
So if we've done that and we're waiting for something else to come out, I guess maybe a couple more sessions next week. But in any event, at least one more, a few more highlights. We'll post them in the forum to grab those videos off your channel and post them, Kenny. Just to show off our better games where we did win and not some of the ones that haven't turned out so well. One other thing I wanted to mention this week, actually just before we started recording, I went back and played NBA 2K11 again. Last week I finished NBA's Greatest in NBA 2K12, and I talked about that on the podcast and in Way Back Wednesday. And every so often I do like to pull out an older game, just have a bit of retro gaming in between what I'm currently playing. And finishing off NBA's Greatest did give me a taste of wanting to go back and finish all the Jordan challenges in the Jordan Challenge in 2K11. So I went in there and actually went into the practice mode and looked through all the advanced controls, because they changed a lot in between. Sort of 2K10 to 2K13, they were changing up controls every single year. So that didn't work out for me too well, as I said in the podcast. But I managed to complete the Shrug game. I got all the threes, scored the 35 points, and managed to hold Drexler below 20 points and get the win. So Actually, I have footage of Jordan doing the shrug, although this time he hit the three over Drexler instead of Cliff Robinson, so I didn't quite replicate it, but had some fun doing that. Might be writing about that for Way Back Wednesday, my experiences trying to just take care of some more unfinished business in an older game. So, yeah, that was fun to do, but yeah, there's only so long you can really go back and play the old basketball games because I miss my shot meter, I miss the better animations and the fluidity of the newer games. And if you go back and play the games even just 4 or 5 years ago, you can actually see where they have improved. There are legacy issues, obviously, but it is nice to see that improvement in the controls. And yeah, it made me appreciate 2K16 a little more, actually, and thinking, yeah, I miss that shot meter is pretty good. And so is being able to make dribbling moves with the right stick as well, instead of the damn ISO motion. But so that's what I've been doing. Anything other stories you guys want to share before we do some trivia?
I've been playing Live 16.
Oh, Live 16, absolutely. How are you liking the controls, speaking of controls?
It's interesting, like, I find it more responsive in terms of the accuracy of wherever you are actually putting the analog stick. That is where the player is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel as, like, ants on ecstasy or anything like that, where they're all erratic and stuff, where the play just sort of over animated in a sense.
Ants,
so.
Ants on ecstasy, that's a good one.
So yeah, just I think it's definitely more controlled in that sense. Still feels a little bit slow paced in some things. The passing definitely feels more like just a normal X button passing feels better in that it's more likely going to who you're going to and who you wanting to intend it to pass to, and it won't be such a stupid pass. Like, you might still get a couple of turnovers from like a bad pass in that, but it's not as erratic and as poor as what I felt like 2K16 has in a lot of ways. You don't sort of question, is like, well, why would you pass there, or why would you pass it to them in that circumstance, kind of thing.
Yep.
It seems to recognize better option in that sort of sense of who you're going to pass to in live. Yeah, layups and anime, like dunk stuff, still feels a little bit weird in that compared to 2K and that. But yeah, just the initial control and response things feels better. The circle button in live is throwing me off still when on offense because it's the alley button.
Yep.
In live, so instead of the screen, it's like, ah, damn it. So yeah, they'll throw up a lob pass. So yeah, that still gets me on the rare occasion, and that I think it happened about 3 or 4 times when I was playing. I did the Rising Star thing, scored 51 points in the showcase game before getting drafted, got drafted third, got drafted by Philly. Was going to be a starter, but Miami put up an offer, and yeah, I was going to be sixth man in that, but I got to play for the team that I wanted to, so I took that trade offer. I've played about 3 games with the Heat at the moment. I think we're 1-2 or 2-1. But yeah, it's been fun doing it. You don't get penalized as heavily in a lot of cases, like in terms of like loose ball turnover, fail to, you know, stop a fight, like allow team to score after a loose ball or turnover and stuff like that. But yeah, I still think there could be a little bit more in terms of depth and reward and
definitely
and that in terms of the grading system and stuff. I'm liking it's a lot easier to like with the 2 system, with the reward systems, to be able to upgrade the attributes or you know, custom gear kind of stuff. So that's good. And, you know, pretty much close to one or two games, you'd be able to upgrade an attribute in some way.
Yeah,
it's still slow in still in that sense, like the slow grind aspect. But the fact that you don't have to choose one or the other, you can do both, and you obviously have enough points for both. So that's good. Yeah, some of the shoes look good as well. Going back into the whole sort of
dress
up. Customizations. yeah, the whole Barbie game aspect of it. I'm loving the fact that I can wear the Jordan 17 pluses, which is a black crocodile skin and copper sort of look. Especially given I've got a pair of them and I haven't worn them yet because I've got them on dead stock, so this kind of get to virtually wear them. Yeah, the reward points for them are fairly high. It was like to unlock a lot of the things is about 13,000 points, but
reward points caught up so easily in Live 16.
Yeah. I've already got like about another 10 or something thousand, I think, one more game, and I'd be able to buy another pair that I really want to unlock and stuff like that. So it's not too bad. Yeah, still a few things that 2K do better, but there's still a couple of things that Live do better.
I do like that option to be able to get traded to your favorite team, the team of your choice.
Yeah,
that's a nice way. It's like, okay, you know, if you want,
as long as that team's obviously interested in stuff like that, and obviously being a third pick in that, yeah, I'd imagine they would have been interested. So, the texturing and the jersey stuff details, I still find Live 16 is better. Even looking at 2K17. Especially the numbers, the numbering looks like it's actually got the meshier material and the sort of imperfections in terms of creases of it, whereas, I know, just too straight-laced and sort of thing, and as opposed to 2K. So that, for me, in that terms of that visual realism looks a lot better. A lot of times, too, with some of the faces, you see Live has done better in terms of looking more like the player, maybe not so much in the skin tone texturing in a lot of ways, but some players do technically look better in Live than they do in 2K in that case, from the few games that I've played in that. I felt like, yeah, it was a better, stronger representation of the player virtually in that. But yeah, no, you know, it was good to play, good something different in that, and you know, something, you know, as alluded to, that option of choice, you know, you feel like playing it, but maybe not that exact game. So, yeah, just something that felt a little different, but was the same type of game and that sort of thing. So, I'll see what, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with, obviously, their next game and that. So, with Live 17, so, yeah.
Probably not on the PC, despite what some sites would have you.
Yeah.
So, it's been a while since we talked about Live 16, but, yeah, great to get some more of your impressions on that, and don't know if I'll be dusting off myself anytime soon, except to do a feature here and there, but, yeah, it's I did actually enjoy my time with it earlier this year, so good to hear that you've had some positive experiences as well, and, yeah, as I said, if there's some ideas that Live can take from 2K and 2K can take from Live, good ideas are good ideas, and, yeah, by all means, I don't care if they copy each other. If they're copying good ideas from each other, that's they're both doing good things then.
You know, if it helps better replicate basketball, then it's all good. One thing I'd like to see in both games in terms of the instant replay stuff, and so that way it's easier for creating montages and highlight videos and stuff. I'd really love to see what you could do with Drive Club. Like, if you can save a scene, or save like a replay, and you could come back to it, and you could actually, you could do like a pre-trim of it sort of thing, or the last few minutes or whatever, and that scene you can actually edit within the scene, and you can obviously change things from the camera focus and things like that to the speed element. You can change like a filtering effect. You can change the camera angles and all that stuff. And so you could do all this really cool sort of instant replay stuff without. And you can save it, and you can go back to it, and you can relive it, and sort of and capture it the way you want to. You know, if you want to do like a Matrix camera pan style thing to it, you know, you could do something like that with the replay and element. That'd be really cool, sort of thing. So it'd sort of save, and then you know, when you're trying to edit the video, and obviously then upload it to like YouTube and stuff, it'll save a little bit of time of having like. The overlays and like the menu options coming the
yeah,
showing up
a little bit of
in the actual replay.
Yeah. Which they did it in NBA Live 09, they had a bit more stuff with that as well, I think. But yeah, it would definitely
you know,
be
you could set up maybe like three camera angles, you know, you can sort of use a you know, a little XYZ sort of thing like you see in some of the 3D software, you know, you say, oh, this is where I want camera 1, 2, and 3 to be, and this is the sort of angle. And then,
well, I'd like a completely free cam in 2K again, because that's sometimes you can't get a great angle trying to move it. I know they're trying to do it from like set camera angles, but it's kind of, yeah, it is a bit restrictive. But yeah, even being able to set up camera 1, 2, and 3, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like what I'll do is I'll even take a scene from Drive Club, like I'll do a race and I'll upload sort of things and what I mean, and I'll put it in the actual forum and say, you know, and it does all this like the cross processing and all that stuff, and the game can do it, because at the end of the game you see replays when it talks about the player of the game and stuff like that, so you know it has the games have the memory to remember the plays and that. So I know it'd be a good thing for people who like maybe like Shady, who could do things, who we could do things as well, you know, for LSC content. You know, if we were to do another top 10 replay, it makes it easier for those to submit the entry and, you know, less post-production work for me, or if I was to redo it up again and all that stuff. So, yeah, it'd be something good in that sense. So, fingers crossed that... I don't imagine they'll be doing it this year. Obviously, it'd be too late, but... You know, for next year's games, and if they could do something where what Drive Club has done with the replay stuff, it would be freaking awesome, because it'd be so much better than what the options that we got now, which are kind of stale, and I'll dare say even like last generation.
It's actually, I would agree that it's probably one of those things that you could call last gen, very dated. Again, probably bigger priorities, which is fair enough. But yeah, it's something we don't really talk about that much, the instant replay. I mean, it is talked about in the community, but yeah, maybe some more constructive feedback. We need to all get together and get some ideas there for really great post-production effects and whatnot. But it's, I guess that sort of brings our weekend gaming to a close. We have a bit more gaming to do in the current calendar week, and we'll talk a bit more about that next week. But... it has now come time to play our favorite game on the NLSC podcast, which, of course, is Trivia Time! And, guys, once again, I did make up a bunch of questions, so I still have plenty in the can. No more hard work for me for at least another 5 weeks. Hooray. So, Kenny, you are still leading 12 to 10. For those who haven't listened to the show before, basically I ask my co-hosts a question, one question each. If they get that wrong, the other person can jump in and steal a point. The third question I ask each week is one that I select, and whoever jumps in first with the correct answer gets the point. And if someone takes a shot, the other one's got a free shot at it. But Kenny, yes, you lead 12 to 10, so the choice remains yours for the time being. 18 questions were up on the board last week. We're down to 15, 6, 8, and 12 are gone.
13.
Lucky 13. Let me highlight this one. Okay, your question. Which NBA 2K game was the Legends Showcase DLC released for? So which game received that Legends Showcase DLC?
It's 2K14?
2K14, final answer?
Yeah, go 2K14.
Wasn't 2K14. Ben, can you get it?
2K12?
2K12 is correct. You get the point.
Damn, that was going to be my other one.
12 to 11. Okay, you've got a chance, Ben, to even the game or even take the lead this week just to put the pressure on. So 13 is off the board as well. 6, 8, 12, and 13 all gone. Which would you
number like? Three. Number three.
Number three, half six. What was the last NBA Live game to be released for the Nintendo GameCube? The last game to come out in the Live series on GameCube.
Jeez. I'd say a 90s one. I'm trying to remember the GameCube in terms of when it came out, and I didn't have one, so it was, and I wasn't too big on this one. I sort of got past Nintendo. GameCube from memory was out when PS1 from memory.
I'll give you both a hint. You Ben, because it's your question, and Kenny, if you get the shot at it, it was after 2000.
Okay. I'm gonna say 2001.
Final answer.
Yeah, 2002 might be, but I think it was 2001.
2001. I'm afraid it wasn't 2001.
Dang.
So it's over to you, Kenny, if you want to take a shot.
So I want to add first that I think the console Ben was thinking of was the Nintendo 64. So that
probably was
what threw him off. But GameCube, I'm going to guess and say it was 08.
Wait, final answer?
Yeah.
Very close. Incorrect, but very close. It was NBA Live 06 was the final game released for the GameCube. So...
Yeah, I think you may have been right. I'm just trying to got the errors wrong for the consoles.
Because so... GameCube was after 64. So.
That's right.
I thought GameCube was before 64. I don't know.
That was the Super Nintendo.
GameCube is the one I called the Barbie Funhouse. While we're bringing up Barbie again, because it kind of, there was like a pink version of it. So
that's the Barbie console, that's right. Not the Barbie game.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think I got my timeline wrong of when and where. It was just not so much trying to remember what console came, but what years they were out. That was all. Last time I didn't really play a GameCube. I think my friend had one, but I don't think I've played like 10 minutes of it at best. So yeah,
I don't think I've ever played it because I moved on to a PS2 after 64. So turning my back on the Nintendo fanboy that I was in the 90s with the three that came out from between the 80s and 90s. So we have our third question. I'm going to pick number 5, and this goes out to both of you. The first one to get the correct answer gets the point. And which of these is not a part of the Jordan Challenge in NBA 2K11? It's a multiple choice. Not a part of the Jordan Challenge in NBA 2K11. Michael Jordan's 69-point game, Game 6 of the 97 Finals, or Game 3 of the 1990 Eastern Conference Finals?
Game 3.
Yeah, I was going to say Game 3 as well.
Both missed out on that one. It's Game 6 of the 97 Finals.
Wow.
Because really? the challenge for the 97 finals is, of course, the flu game, which is game 5.
Right.
All very plausible games to include there. And game 5, again, is the 97 finals challenge. But yeah, game 6 when he locked it up. And I believe almost came close to a triple-double, possibly, in that game. I'm maybe thinking of a different game in the 97 finals. But... thought I'd get that one out of the way since I will be talking about the Jordan Challenge in upcoming podcasts and whatnot, so I might give away the answer. But the score is 12 to 11. It is still close. Ben, you've still got a chance to take the lead next week.
Cool.
And Kenny,
Coming for you, Kenny.
You're still holding serve.
Oh, geez, I might have something on next week.
doing some research. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 175 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes or catch it on Stitcher. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, just search for NLSC podcast. The links you'll also find on the site itself. We also invite you, as always, to connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. Follow us on Twitter, @thenlsc. And as always, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com. Even with that domain name, we do obviously cover 2K as well. 2K, Live, Jam, pretty much any basketball games we want to talk about these days. Not so much Baller Beats. Apologies to Majesco, but not really our speed. But basketball gaming in general, keep it locked to the NLSC for all the mods and everything else we do. So that will do it for this week. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And I'm Kenny.
Hashtag this is not a podcast. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.